Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
Okay, he's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
I don't think so.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, presented by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We're learning a lot about each other.
We got Homer, Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
We have
pessimist Molly.
No. Realist.
And then contrarian.
Total.
Jim Rutledge here.
Jim's an onion. You got to peel back the layers to get to the good part.
Love, Goff, and Darnold are unique names. Williams is a very generic name.
Almost as generic as Brown. I totally understand.
Could it be possible you guys are the best show in ESPN Wisconsin, the whole state?
Yeah, obviously.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
You're the best. I mean,
broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside gold medalist Matt Hamilton and downtown Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Tosh. Good morning, ESPN Wisconsin, Beaver Dam, Milwaukee, and Madison. I am Jim Rutledge. This show is often presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
That's right. I have the power. We are in the Ho-Chunk Gaming 1917 Club today as we are here for a Upper Deck event at Camp Randall. Matt and I have not had our chances to get out and take some swings, but people here are ready. The experience looks blue chip, and we are excited for it. I'm alongside Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton and Molly Brown. Not an Olympian, but still a winner.
Apparently not a golfer either, because you didn't include me in potentially going to go take some swings out at Camp Randall.
Did you want to?
I mean, I've thought about it, but I'm also very nervous. I'm just trying to survey the land and see how many people are on each of like the tee box things.
Uh-huh.
Because if there's people there, probably not. But if it's just you guys, I'll take a couple swings, because then I won't be embarrassed.
Daniel Landscaper coming in hot on the Carbon Stock text line 844-770-3776. This is more. Says he'd like to start the day off by saying the Cubs still suck.
They're one game
behind the Milwaukee Brewers for the best record in the National League. They are tied with the Milwaukee Brewers at 4 games apiece of 8 games played so far in their series. There's 5 games left at Wrigley Field. And you know what I just saw? I saw that ESPN called the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs losers at the deadline, which is true. I am holding, I did this
with
yesterday
on the show. Moves we made?
I am holding both teams, and you can follow at Jim, Matt, and Molly to see the video from yesterday. I said yesterday when we kicked off the show at 4 o'clock, if the Cubs don't add a top-of-the-rotation starter, it was a failure at the deadline. It means that they were not serious about winning the World Series. They just wanted to win the division. And I want to get to some audio from Gabe Neitzel from yesterday morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee, where it wasn't so much the 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 o'clock deadline time that the Brewers failed. They failed earlier by not adding a bat. But I want to get to ESPN, Matt Hamilton. And it says here, the Brewers are hardly losers in the big picture. And that's why the Brewers and Cubs both fall into the other loser category. But, you know, you can make a case that, yeah, they added Brandon Woodruff and Jacob Mizorowski is a nice addition. They did get reliever Shelby Miller from the Diamondbacks. He's having a good year. But you're relying on Andrew Vaughn, who was terrible with the White Sox prior to joining the Brewers, as they got him for a song. Love that turnaround. Love that phrase. Get him for a song. Ryan O'Hearn would have been a nice addition, capable of playing first base or outfield and improving the bench. But he was dealt to the Padres. That's interesting with Jackson Chourio dealing with a hamstring issue. The Brewers are battling the Cubs for the division title. And I think this is true for both these teams. Avoiding the wild card series will be huge. Because as you look at the Padres, and this is me talking again, the Padres did a lot. And the Padres will likely be a wild card team because they're facing off against the Dodgers to win the West. The Padres did a ton. And if you're a Cubs fan or a Brewers fan, you'd be like, oh, my God. If we have to face one of those teams, it's going to look really embarrassing if we lose to those teams that made a bunch of moves at the deadline to get better, specifically San Diego, while we basically stood pat. So neither the Cubs or the Brewers seem that interested in trying to win a World Series. They seem more interested in winning the division and making the playoffs. Both franchises cheap in their own way. The Brewers don't like to trade. They are in the prospect acquisition. They're in the prospect acquisition business. That's all they want to do. They want to acquire prospects. They can't give up prospects because how are they going to backfill when their players get expensive and earn their money? The Brewers don't want to pay the players the money they earned. They want to pay players ahead of time, like Jackson Chourio. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. But that's like Jackson Chourio. But quickly, they want to sign a guy like Jackson Chourio or Jacob Mizrowski to deals so they can underpay them. Because then when they get market value, they want to move on. But to be fair, as if you're new to ESPN Wisconsin, I'm a Cubs fan, the Cubs just did the same damn thing. They're worried about losing Kyle Tucker. They don't want to pay him. Now, the threshold's different. They don't want to pay him $500 million. You know, that's like seven payrolls for the Brewers. They don't want to pay him that, so they didn't want to trade their top prospects because they want to have cheap replacements, some top-end players to replace them, so they didn't go get a pitcher. So both organizations, I've just come to the conclusion that apparently nobody in the NL Central cares about winning a World Series. They want to win the budget Olympics, and they want to win their division, and then say, hey, you know what? We're football. You know, Chicago's a football town. Wisconsin's a football state. We just got to get to September. And then who cares? People will be mad for like 3 days, and then they'll move on to their football team.
Is this the first time that you've ever felt like the Cubs want to be in the budget Olympics? No. I feel like you've never said that about the Cubs. You've only said it about the Brewers before.
Well, we've only been doing a show. I've said it about the Cubs. This is the first time they've been a contending team that they've been cheap.
Okay.
Because before they blew it up, after won the World Series, you can make a case, you blow it up, you trade off your prospects, and then they were trying to rebuild. But now they spent the money on council, but now they're a team that has the ability to compete for a World Series, and they said, you know what? We're not going to do it. So they are actually in the position to make a run for the first time in a few years, because the last time they were, they did spend the money. They did make the trades. They brought in Aroldis Chapman. They did all those things. This time around, they didn't. So I got to call it as I see it.
Is it?
I don't want to come on the air and call the Brewers losers or cheap or not serious about winning the World Series without doing the same thing to my team. And I don't think either team is serious about it.
Is there potential for, I guess, both of these GMs to think, and I think it maybe applies more to the Cubs because I feel like they do have the money to keep their players around. Could they be looking around the league and think the trade prospects that we could have gotten weren't true like scale tippers, so we're probably not quite ready to win the World Series.
I love that question, and I want to get to it in a second, but I think there was one that was available for a price, a very good price, and we can hear from Gabe Neitzel, who is on ESPN Milwaukee every morning, John Gabe and Chewy. He was on yesterday, and he had some great thoughts on the Brewers not acquiring the biggest bat at the deadline, not quite for a song, but not quite the price I think people were expecting. Let's hear Gabe.
It's a gut punch, because it wasn't that much. They gave up Tyler Locklear, not that you know any of these names. He was the Mariners' number 9 prospect. They gave up a right-handed pitcher who was a number 16 prospect and a right-handed pitcher who was their number 17 prospect. They gave up 3 prospects here, the pitching prospects, worse than the ones they gave up to get Josh Naylor. I thought that Logan Henderson would potentially be like the center of a package. You could have given up Logan Henderson, who's a top 100 guy, and probably been done with it compared to what the Mariners actually ended up giving up. So that's the tough part for me, is just kind of a gut punch of, oh, they didn't really overpay. Kind of feels like an underpay.
My, and who was that trade?
Eugenio
Suarez.
I've heard people call him Gino. I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know. I don't follow the Diamondbacks a lot.
If it's his nickname, then I'm not going to choose if it's good or not.
Well, I mean, okay, I like ours better. One, yeah. Thanks, Ryan. You were the one that got us to say Eugenio.
Eugenio.
Suarez.
I was waiting for Suarez, but okay.
All right, so I want to ask this question, our Saturday Limited poll question here on the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch. Are you confident the Brewers are going to represent the National League in the World Series after the trade deadline? So after the trade deadline, are you confident that the Milwaukee Brewers are going to represent the National League in the World Series? 844-770-3776. That's the Carbo Stalker text line. This is more.
Well, they didn't get worse, right? Didn't we say that they got marginally better yesterday?
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Isn't that the phrase?
Then we got better.
You did?
Marginally.
But compared to whom? Like, Philadelphia made some pretty
To not making any moves at all.
Okay,
are you comparing it to just the people in the NL Central?
Yeah, but Matt, that's not what it means, though. Like, it means the Mets got better, the Phillies got better, San Diego got better, the Dodgers have a real case with all the money they spent, they're going to get better. So by them getting better and you doing nothing or something very much in the margins, you got worse because everyone else jumped you. They got better. It's not like the Brewers are headed.
I don't know if that math checks out, but I'm no mathematician. So I'll let you slide on that one. I'm a mathematician.
You don't understand addition, and if you add more than some, like, let's say someone was three spots behind the Brewers and they added five wins, then they would be in front of the Brewers if the Brewers even only added one more win.
You're speaking Chinese to me right now. Brewers are the best team in the MLB right now.
True, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are they going to be the best team in the National League when it's all said and done?
I have a hard time, like, wishfully thinking, yeah, I think that they have a chance to do it, but realistically,
I'm basically asking, is not getting Suarez going to bite the Brewers in the ass? Are they going to be in the playoffs and come up short with a bat?
If we had Suarez, were we all of a sudden like, Brewers are real contenders?
Jeff Passan, I believe on this show, said they were one bat away from being legitimate World Series contenders. And they are legitimate World Series contenders. So are the Cubs, so are the Mets, so are the Phillies, and so are the Dodgers. And the Padres as well. I think if you're a playoff team, you're a legit World Series contender.
Mm-hmm.
But the NL Central, they just kind of looked at each other and said, hey, you do nothing, I'll do nothing. We'll just cheap our way to just trying to win the division. And that's what the Cubs and the Brewers did. So they might be able to win the division, which sets them up. But now they're playing a dangerous game. You do not want to be the wild card team in the National League because the Phillies and the Mets and the Padres and the Dodgers and the Cubs are all in the same ballpark as the Milwaukee Brewers as far as a very good baseball team.
So I guess back to my, like, original question, was there anyone who was good enough with the Phillies and the Mets making moves and the Padres making moves? Was the addition of Eugenio Suarez enough for us?
Yes.
So, like, if they were all adding and we added something like Suarez, we were also going to be in that mix, that contender title?
I think you could make a very strong case.
Okay.
It'd be like adding Josh Jacobs to the team last year or McKinney. Mm. I mean, it's that sort
filter.
Yeah, he's a field tilter. And also, I feel like you could add up, like, the starting infield for the Brewers, and they don't have as many home runs or power numbers as Suarez has. We talked the other day about
just infielders. I mean, Rhys Hoskins was our only hope to maybe catch that number.
And you might be able to throw a few outfielders in there as well. So, like, and then with the Churio news, like, you need – the Brewers, I know they've been hot in July, and maybe the numbers will rise. But even with an incredibly hot July, so think about how bad they were before this. In an incredibly hot July, I think they were top 10 in slugging percentage. They're 24th in Major League Baseball. And slugging's not just home runs. That is total bases divided by at-bats. So that means, and triples to me, that's not a power number. Singles, obviously, are not a power number. It's doubles and home runs. Those are power numbers. The Brewers are lacking in that. Suarez would have given you both. And so I'm not saying the Brewers can't get to the World Series. I'm not saying they won't win the World Series, but they would have tilted their chances incredibly in their favor to really go for it. And as Gabe Neitzel pointed out,
it wasn't that much.
And we had, and I know, hope this doesn't trigger people here, but we had Dave Kaplan on from Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago, and he had something about both teams, and both teams didn't follow his advice. But let's hear from Cap, because we had him on earlier this week on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Okay, but here's what I'd say to you. That Brewers team's good enough to win a World Series. They are. And you could throw Mizorowski and Freddy Peralta and Jose Quintana. You can. I'm not saying they will. They can. The Chicago Cubs also are good enough when you can roll out there Kyle Tucker and Pete Armstrong and Michael Bush and all of these dudes, Nico Horner. They have enough to do it if they go out and address their bullpen and maybe a high-end starter in their rotation. They can. if Mark Adonasio, who I've never met in my life, doesn't look at this team and go, if not now, when, and push the chips in, then he does not care about winning. That's just a fact.
I mean,
you can do it, Matt. I get it to my team. You can say my team cared more about the future economics of their team, well, I'm talking about the Cubs right now, mm-hmm. than they cared about winning a World Series. That's what I'm calling my team out. You can say my team either got bamboozled out of a very affordable trade for Suarez, didn't participate in that trade, or chickened out because they still never want to give up prospects because prospects are the lifeblood of an organization that never wants to pay anyone fair market value.
You're right, but isn't Suarez only good for the rest of the season anyway? And then you would have had to pay
this
him?
This is your season.
The World Series happens in this season.
I know that, but like you said about prospects, they're the lifeblood. If you get rid of a good prospect that could be a player for the Brewers.
What do you want as a fan? Do you want prospects or do you want a World Series?
Just think back to when you heard Jeff Passan on Wildy and Tausch just a couple weeks ago. Like Jim said, when he said the Milwaukee Brewers are just one bat away from being a World Series contender. That made you feel excitement. That made you feel happy. That made you feel like, oh my God, my team is finally so close. And now you're trying to like say, well, he was just going to be a one-time thing.
Yeah, like
he was only going to be here for a couple months. You only need a couple months.
CeCe Sabathia was the greatest loner in all of baseball history. Teams that win the World Series often acquire a loner to get over the top. Matt,
it goes back to that question. Molly, do you sell your soul for one season and then have five seasons?
I've said that about the Packers. Yes, as a Packers fan, give me a Super Bowl and they can suck for the next 5 years.
Stop being a coward. I'm giving you an out. I'm calling out my own team for not giving a crap about winning the World Series.
Well, that's on you being a bad fan, Jim, not me.
Unbelievable.
Matt's good with his team saving money. He thinks it goes into his pocket.
I still have this chip in my pocket where if they don't do well, say they end up losing the first series that they play in the playoffs, I'd just be like, oh, well, you know, they're just cheap. They can't afford to compete with the Padres or the Dodgers or the Phillies.
So here's the thing.
You're literally guarding your heart when it comes to
No,
100%.
That is all it is.
I've learned.
Here's what it is. He has no expectations for the Brewers. You know that thing of like what you want? Like yesterday when Evan Cohen was burying you and I because he has expectations for us and he holds us to a standard and he does not have any standards for Matt Hamilton.
Exactly.
What? That's Matt
it
Hamilton.
It was awesome. He was like, Matt, I'm not including you in this. But I'm like, thank you.
I don't expect anything of you, Matt.
Thank you. I don't expect anything of me either.
But that's Matt Hamilton with the Brewers. He has no expectations. He expects nothing of them. He has no respect for them. He just wants them to – and this is what Mark Attanasio wanted. He was quoted saying this. You just want a good time till football season starts. When that foot hits that ball at the start of the NFL season, you've checked out emotionally, which is most baseball fans, I think, in general, especially in the state of Wisconsin.
I've only got so much love to give. You know what I mean? Right. I can't focus
because
on the all Packers, these different teams
the
in Wisconsin
Packers did
all
the same,
time.
If the Packers did the same damn thing, you'd be upset.
Matt, you do know that you're not an owner of the Brewers. I know you're an owner of the Green Bay Packers, but you're not an owner of the Brewers. So your money, your pockets are not getting lined from either team, just so you know. Just to make you aware. I'm not sure if you knew that.
He wants to get invited back to throw out a first pitch.
Yeah, that's also true. I can't say anything inflammatory on the radio
in case they win a gold medal.
That's a good point. That's the best way that I found it, get to throw first pitches.
Yeah.
And then we'll tag along.
Yeah, perfect, perfect.
Molly can catch. I'll cheer you on. 414 chimes in twice. Strofe is a clown. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll allow it.
No idea.
I'll allow it.
Irrelevant.
this is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wildy and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch.
Matt, you, like, I don't mean this in a mean way, but, like, you kind of look like your dog.
Moose is a handsome dog. So,
you
like,
have beautiful
no
dogs.
No offense taken. No offense taken at all.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Fish Friday on Jim, Matt, and Molly, takeover of Wildy and Tausch across ESPN Wisconsin. You can see us in ESPN Madison YouTube stream. If you are, you can see the amazing Ho-Chunk Gaming 1917 Club that we are in, courtesy of Upper Deck, as they have a golf outing going on here where you can hit the balls onto Camp Randall Field, Barry Alvarez Field at Camp Randall. You hit it from the upper deck, as it says, and It's kind of like a Topgolf sort of thing.
Yeah,
so it's a
they've
good
got
time.
Lights and greens that are, I don't know if the lights just like blink naturally or if they actually have some sort of like RFID chip sensor in the ball that when it goes in, they're like, hey, good job.
So did you see that there was a picker out there?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a person in yeah. the picker thingy?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So if you
That'd
go
be
play,
my new target. Yeah, yeah. Forget the green. It's the picker.
I don't know if his cart will light up or not, but worth a shot.
It lights up black.
Yeah.
Because that's all he'll see after you hit him. Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton with you. We have Jason Wilder coming up next segment here. We did ask our first Siding Unlimited poll question. You can chime in on the Carbless Talk and text line 844-770-3776. List is more. Are you confident the Brewers will make the World Series after their inaction at the MLB trade deadline? 85% of you say no.
That's a strong tilt in this poll.
Daniel Landscaper chimes in. It's Wisconsin sports to a T. They do just enough to stay relevant and keep flowing. That's it. The owners don't care about champions, period. We also have 414 chiming in. Suarez is a risky rental. This is Andy from Milwaukee. Suarez is a risky rental. He's streaky, currently batting .215 since the break with two good games against the bad Cards. Thank God I'm not Ron Burgundy there.
Yeah.
Come on now. And he just had his hand x-rayed after getting hit in the hand a couple days ago. You need a rental to be basically a lock for a small money team to justify the risk. He ain't it. And he's got more on there. I'm going to go back to what Gabe Neitzel said because he's far more in tune on baseball. I get that the cost was not prohibitive. He basically said maybe I forgot the pitcher we brought up yesterday, but like
Logan Henderson.
Logan Henderson or Yoho or a Gosser-type pitching prospect. Henderson in the top 100. So if you give up Henderson, but as I list off two other guys who are ranked close to him in the farm system, let alone Chad Patrick, and you got Quinn Priester, and you have all these other pitchers, like you're loaded up. Mm-hmm. On pitching. So that is a position of strength where you could give up a prospect that, yes, Logan Henderson might turn out to be good, but, and I understand a Suarez type player is a like a risk because it is a rental, but Suarez over the, I always go back to the baseball card. Like you, we all, smart baseball fans understand that Vaughn is going to fall back down to earth. And what happens when he does?
Don't tell Matt that.
And that, well, I said smart baseball fans, so Matt is automatically excluded.
Oh, man. Contrarian and pessimist over here. I'm just surrounded
I haven't said anything.
Negativity.
No. I'm just going, like, baseball at the end of the season to play to the back of your card. And Suarez might regress some. I don't even care about the average for him. The Brewers need pop because all we do is talk about pitching, how great the pitching is for the Brewers. But and so, like, oh, we face the Dodgers, and our pitching is going to be great to shut down an amazing lineup. The Dodgers' pitching has to be mid to shut down this Brewers' lineup. Like, that's the trade-off that nobody seems to understand. And so I'm going off of Gabe Neitzel's point from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy the other day. Maybe we'll play the audio after we talk to Wildy. We'll get back to it. But basically the point was Suarez was not that expensive. And so for the cost of acquiring him, it would not have mortgaged the future. And it would have set the Brewers up with a realistic case to be the number one contender to win the whole damn thing. Now they are in contention in the National League to maybe go to the World Series. If they acquired Suarez, they might have been the premier team to go win the whole thing.
Okay, so you've talked about all the other moves that all the other teams in the National League have put together, especially like the Padres. Yep. We looked at their stuff yesterday with all the moves that they made in one day. It was crazy. Which of these teams do you think after the trade deadline is going to be the one to represent the National League based on
I'm still going Dodgers. I'm still going Dodgers.
Honestly, in my heart of hearts, if we got Suarez and you asked me that same question, I still think it's the Dodgers.
Yeah, but again, that's loser talk, no offense. Because
whoa.
But like
the Dodgers are so good
who
and they spend so much money on premier but players if, adding one guy.
Okay, so if not when, if not now, then when? Because they do it every year, Matt. This was the – you are the best team, team in baseball.
Yeah.
All I hear is snack face Jesse Nelson telling me all the time about how the Brewers are the best team in baseball. And then – but you don't believe in them. Because if you're the best team in baseball and you had the best bat at the trade deadline, then you feel like, you know what? You know what, Dodgers and your money? We are going to win the Budget Olympics this year. We are going to be that Matt Hamilton team that came out of nowhere, you know, through the trials of the Olympics. You guys were a surprise, right, when you guys won the gold? Compared to, like, you were down to your last chance. Yes.
Yep.
So that team was an underdog.
And look at us. We didn't make any moves at the trade deadline of the Olympics.
And you didn't make any moves. But also, we talked about this, Matt, and we got to get the break. But let's you do the trade deadline thing. Every year is not promised.
You're right.
You kind of indicated that your team that finished in fourth place at the Olympics last time around was maybe a better technically team than the one that won the gold, but the one that won the gold had luck is a residue of design. You're not luck. Like, you put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
You put yourself in the position to get the right breaks, and I don't even want to say luck, but like
things, luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yes. And sometimes it can work against you, that you might have had a better team when you finished fourth, but that team is not the team that won the gold.
That's true.
And so the Brewers might not be as good as the Dodgers, but they would have given themselves a better opportunity to go win the World Series if they had gotten Suarez. We'll talk to Jason Wilde about the Green Bay Packers next. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the Takeover, Wilde and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Washington Nationals.
Fly ball, deep right, bye-bye baseball! Salvatore, a solo shot to right.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like I feel like
it. Desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly's Takeover of Wilde and Tausch.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
The Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch continues. Primetime Orshine back at the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you at Camp Randall for the Upper Deck event. And we have a tight window with the great Jason Wilde. So I want to get into the questions we had for Jason as quick as possible because he, you know, his day job is covering the Green Bay Packers, and Matt LaFleur is speaking in a little bit here. Evan Cohen said earlier today that there might not be a quarterback in the NFL who has a wider range of outcomes of maybe Jordan Love. At the end of this year, he's either going to probably be defined as slightly above average quarterback in the league or could be all the way up to elite and somewhere in there. And there's probably not a quarterback that you could make that sort of broad statement about because look in the North, Caleb's not going to be called the best no matter what he does this year. Neither would J.J. McCarthy. I doubt nobody expects Jared Goff to take that step. So even in the division, the one guy who we kind of know the floor, we just don't know the ceiling and has the widest range of outcomes is Jordan Love. What do you think of that statement?
Well, even though it's from Evan Cohen, I like it. No, he's right. Like and I couldn't agree with him more because I don't, you know, I cover the team every day. And by the way, my tight window is because LaFleur is at 950. It's not because I want to get rid of you three.
No, we mentioned that you had to talk to LaFleur, yeah.
So, I don't know what Love is. Apparently only Foreigner.
I want you to show
knows.
Me.
Yeah, I want him to show me what Love is, right? I mean, I think it's the perfect, like, all kidding aside, if you're into 80s hair bands, Foreigner sings it pretty well there because yeah. I think he's good. I agree that his floor is that he's good. But what is good? Like, you know, Geno Smith has been good at times in his career, right? Baker Mayfield is probably, we have to probably give him credit for being better than good, but we probably downgrade him because he hasn't been as good as a number one overall pick should be, right? So I'm very curious to see what this season looks like for Jordan. He's looked better than just good so far in camp, but I still think the jury is very much still out, and luckily for us, Jesse's not on that jury.
Jason, we actually made a comparison earlier this week, Wednesday actually, that Jordan Love
statistically
is very similar to a Baker Mayfield. And then we ended up asking, is that okay to our fans? And surprisingly, it was fairly split, slightly skewed, no, but like 51-49.
And this was before, I mean, this is not even including the breakout year for Baker. Just on average, Baker's about 64% completion percentage.
28 touchdowns.
28 touchdowns.
8 picks.
8 to 12 picks, yeah. And 3,800 yards.
Do you think that's a fair assessment that we came to?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I saw that poll. I voted in it, and I struggled with it. And I saw that after I voted, it was 51-49 then, so it didn't change much thereafter. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I keep using this line, and maybe it's just because I rarely come up with really good one-liners, but I really like this one. He is right now a quarterback you can win with. He is not a quarterback that you consistently win because of him. And so I'm very eager to see if, kind of going back to what Evan was saying, if he's going to become a guy that you win more frequently because of than you have to this point. Like, you know, look, he was great in Dallas in that playoff game. There's some other games where he's been really, really good. But, I don't think that he's, like, how many games did the Packers win during the Rodgers era that they won because of Rodgers? I don't know enough about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' success or failure to be able to speak intelligently as to whether or not they win a lot of their games because of Baker Mayfield. The one quarterback you don't want is the one that you win in spite of him, right? That your defense is so good or whatever else it might be that you're able to win even though your quarterback isn't very good. I don't think he's that guy, but I definitely think he's got a ways to go before we're talking about him as being the reason the Packers win frequently.
How'd you vote in that poll, by the way?
I voted yes, that would be okay, because I do think they can win a Super Bowl if he plays at that level.
Jason, we kind of had the conversation last week on our show of whether or not Matt LaFleur's seat is hot. And that's not what I'm asking you about, but that kind of conversation came up because of...
you agreed that it was not, right? Agreed eventually that...
I believe,
they tried to convince me.
No, Matt. No. The point was there is a scenario, unlikely, but there is a scenario.
His seat's warm. We can't deny that his seat is warm.
Jason gave the best answer when we asked him about it before. He said, most likely scenario is that the Packers might just extend these guys by a year each next year, and then all of a sudden they can kick it down the road and see what happens.
Yes, but again, that's not what my question is. But just all of the stories that are coming out from training camp just this week alone with the Rashid Walker's fight and the teammates running after, like, with him, and all just everything that's coming out about Packers training camp and the way that LaFleur is kind of approaching this year's training camp, at least from the outside looking in, that we're hearing. Do you think that Matt LaFleur struggles to keep his players in check? Like, should we be questioning his leadership?
No. So here's the problem. They have decided, and it is a top-down decision. It is Goody, it is LaFleur, it is the other coaches. They believe that this team was not physical enough, which is a euphemism for they were soft. They got their asses kicked by the Eagles, at least offensively, right? Their defense was way more physical than the Packers' offense was. And I think there were games where their defense wasn't physical enough either. And so they have basically said, look, we need to be more physical if we're going to get, you know, Goody's line was, we want to be a certain kind of team that can go deep in the playoffs, and we believe being more physical is the key to that. And so they're doing something that, quite frankly, is a little bit out of, I think, LaFleur's comfort zone, because LaFleur wants teams that are smart, not necessarily ones that are, you know, he's not the one up there like Dan Campbell talking about biting kneecaps, right? When I think of physical teams, I think of the Eagles, I think of the Lions for sure, I think of the Baltimore Ravens. Like, that's their brand, right? The Packers have never had that brand. I mean, they had great defenses. They had a great defense when they won the Super Bowl in 96. They had a great defense in 09 when Woodson won Defensive Player of the Year. They had a great defense in 10. But they've never been viewed as this physical outfit. And so what they're basically trying to do is force kind of a metamorphosis
And I think when you try to be different than what you have historically been, there are times where guys are going to go over the line and not do it the right way. And they signed Nate Hobbs to be exactly who Nate Hobbs has been. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally don't want him hurting my own guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can spin the Marshawn Lloyd injury however they want and say, well, he wasn't really caused by that hit, which I'm not sure I believe. But they can spin that. But the fact of the matter is the stuff he's doing is exactly his brand. That's why they signed him. You know, Rashid putting J.J. and Igbari on his back, you know, that stuff happens in camp. I personally don't have a problem with making him run a lap. I know it seems juvenile, but the outcome was really good for connectivity with their team. So I guess I look at it as there's been a couple of little fires that have come up, but I don't think this is some sort of inferno that we should be sitting here going, this guy can't control his team. I think that's preposterous.
Jason, I know you got to get to the floor here, so you can end it whenever you need to, but going back to the Love conversation, that he's kind of proven he's a guy you can win with, maybe not because of that, because of is the unknown part. But when I look at the Packers roster, it seems like they've built the roster with this combination of young players who need to step up, and mainly on offense, as a roster that's really designed for a quarterback that you can win because of. And, like, that's the disconnect I see between this team, is that the Packers didn't go out and do what Baker Mayfield had, where he's loaded up with a ton of weapons and like, made Baker Mayfield from, you know, mid or slightly above average to last year, he was elite. And I think the Packers are building the roster like Jordan Love is already elite.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Now, I would also add this. I think they think they've loaded up with a bunch of really good weapons for them that just haven't fully matured. And I think that's kind of the differentiation there is, I think they think they've got all a bunch of great guys that are going to be really good. They just haven't been consistently. But that goes back to what we've talked about for months on end now, which is, you know, maybe they're good, maybe they're not, but we've seen only glimpses. And if they become these consistent guys that play at that level consistently, then they're going to be fine. And if they don't, they're going to be pedestrian, and they're going to be making the playoffs and getting booted in the first round, and they're going to get one-year extensions for these guys. And sooner or later, we're going to get to the point where we're going to question the way Goody has built this team and whether it's built to just be competitive or built to win.
Awesome stuff, Jason. I know you got to go talk to Coach LaFleur. Make sure to ask him his question to see if are you tough enough to run this team.
Tell him hello for me, too.
Does your seat feel warm, and have you lost control of the team?
Please
8 days into training camp.
They're on the list. Says hi.
I got you guys.
All right,
and Matt Hamilton says hi. Didn't you know he won the gold medal? Yeah, I'll do that too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde taking the time to join his own show, Wilde and Tausch. He's going to talk to Matt LaFleur. I'm sure we'll have some audio from that. After he does that, this is Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, Wilde and Tausch. Breaking news from Diana Rossini. The Micah Parsons-Cowboy relationship has deteriorated to the point where the star pass rusher is considering drastic measures, which could include a trade request or even a declaration that he is severing his relationship with the team, per multiple league sources familiar with the situation. Time that with Terry McLaurin wanting to trade out of Washington.
And Packers are about to get some really great players.
If Goody didn't think that the Packers were Super Bowl ready already, Parsons or McLaurin could be a heck of an addition to the team. We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I don't do karaoke on the radio.
I just imagine you like singing into like your curling broom as you're like at home.
But I love that Matt's like, but he does, he like fancies himself like a professional karaoke. Like, I don't give it away for free.
Well, no, no. I'm a terrible singer, and I don't have enough liquid courage right now to go on the radio.
Drink your water.
That's not the liquid courage I'm looking for.
Need to Coors Light.
Exactly.
Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton, Jim Rutledge with you. We are at Camp Randall for their Upper Deck event. We are hanging out in the Ho-Chunk Gaming 1917 Club. It's fantastic up here. We're having a good time. We're taking over for Wildy and Taos. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Primetime Laura Shine back at the Everlight Solar Studio. You can get into the show, 844-770-3776. Molly, you touched on a poll question we asked the other day, and it's a side of them with a poll question. We can revisit with the fans listening right now. Would you be okay if Jordan Love turns out to be as good of a QB as Baker Mayfield, or at least that sort of level QB? And the reason why we asked that question is that we were just kind of – I forget exactly why we were looking at Baker Mayfield's stats, but these numbers sound familiar. Honestly, if you were a casual Packer fan, you might assume these are Jordan Love's numbers. Now, Baker Mayfield, as a true rookie, completed 64% of his passes for 3,700 yards, 27 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That is absolutely a sweet spot of Jordan Love numbers, right? I mean –
maybe a little high in the picks, but
he threw 12 and he missed three games last year.
Not 14.
He threw 11 last year.
11 and he missed three games last year.
Not 14.
I think it's pretty on point. Also, Baker did it in year one in the league, not year four.
Let's remember, that was probably 16-game season, too, so he had one less.
Oh, my God. Like, you are probably the worst person for your wife to argue. Like, I I'm this way at my own house. Let's just peek behind the curtain a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I get so defensive, like, only towards my husband. Everybody else, I'm like, oh, you're trying to make me better. You're trying to, like, positively critique me. With my husband, I'm like, good God, like, let's fight. That's what you're doing right now. That is what you're doing.
You're not wrong. It's pretty accurate. Come at me, bro.
Well, because the other part of it is, pull back the curtain completely, Matt is in his feels because he doesn't want to upset anyone in Milwaukee because he agreed with all this, 2 days ago. But now he's on in Milwaukee. He's like, no. I have to be Homer Matt Hamilton. The outlier here is the Browns' second season. He completed only 60% of his passes through 22 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. Jordan Love has never had a season like that. I don't think he will. But then, so honestly, if you took away his worst season, 2019, and his best season, 2024, that's where these numbers seem similar. So if we took away 2019 and went from 2018 to 2020, 63% completion percentage, 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, obviously better interceptions than Jordan Love's ever done. But otherwise, like, that seems pretty on point. Now, his last year with the Browns wasn't great. But 61%, 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 13 picks. He clearly was hurt that year. He comes back with the Bucs, 64, 4,000, 28, and 10. So if you kind of average those numbers out, ballparking it, it's around 64% completion percentage, 3,800 yards, 27 touchdowns, and we'll call it 11 picks. A QB rating of like 94. That's essentially who Jordan Love is. If you just took away Baker Mayfield's worst season and his best season and averaged out the rest,
it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Just give me last year's,
like,
Baker Mayfield.
I'm not
Jordan Love.
But if you want that.
Wait, would you take the picks along with it? Because last year, 41 touchdowns.
Yes, 4,500 yards.
16 picks.
71 completion percentage.
I get that, but like 16
it's better
picks
than
is a lot.
Last year.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I have no problem with a gunslinger who is going to put up 41 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, and is going to throw more interceptions than your average NFL quarterback. I would be
I don't have Love's numbers. I still think it's a better touchdown to interception ratio than what Love had with 41 and 16. Because 41 touchdowns is a lot of touchdowns. Or it's probably very similar.
25 and 11.
For
so,
Jordan
yeah,
Love, yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah, so when you look at that side of it, I do see that. I think they're, and I'm not saying it as a negative. Like, I think the Browns, now again, the Browns are a bad organization, and moving on from him, there's a lot of different things, and maybe he needed to mature. So we're taking away the abstract of, like, Baker maybe needed to grow up a little bit, but Baker also had to start day one and, like, being put in that position as a 20-something-year-old, being the face of a franchise, and we all can agree on some level, the varying effectiveness of it we can talk about more, but having been able to sit, be able to learn how to be a professional, be able to learn the offense, be able to learn your footwork, be able to relearn some things in the NFL, was a benefit to Aaron Rodgers and to Jordan Love. We can't simultaneously talk about how great the Packers are developing quarterbacks, but letting them sit and not acknowledging letting them sit gave them a head start. So Jordan Love, I don't think will have the volatility of that really bad season or some of the maturity issues because he's already mature by the time he's a starter. So I think continuing to get Baker Mayfield-level numbers out of Jordan Love, the key would be, and this is what I talked about with Wilde, is then building a roster like Baker has.
Yeah.
And getting him more playmakers.
Okay, and do you trust Brian Gutekunst to do that?
No, I think, and this is the disconnect, because I think the Packers think that Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers when he might be Baker Mayfield. And you can win or go to a Super Bowl with both. You want to go Jared Goff as well, that's fine. Jared Goff has gone to a Super Bowl.
Does anybody actually believe that Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers? I don't think.
I think the Packers.
I don't think I've ever met anybody.
No, I think the Packers think he's going to make that jump.
Do you think Goody thinks that as well? Or do you think that Goody thinks that he might be a plus side quarterback who you can win with, but they're trying to build the team around like a Ravens Eagles style build?
Because they've done more for Jordan Love in his first couple years as a starter versus what they ever did for Rodgers, it feels like.
Feels like they're
actually
babying
drafting him.
The wide receiver.
But Brian Gutekunst also has to protect the pick of Jordan Love because he blew up the entire organization because he picked him. So he has to do everything within his power to make him succeed. Because if not, everybody's going to say, you gave up Aaron Rodgers, MVP Aaron Rodgers, you drafted Jordan Love for, like, you did all this to get this guy that's not actually becoming who you thought he was going to be? No, he doesn't want that. He has too much pride.
And again, to be clear, Jordan Love, and I agree with what Wilde said, at a bare minimum is a above average quarterback in the NFL. Like, we know his floor, and his floor is a above average quarterback in the NFL. But if Jordan Love, and again, forget the names of Baker or Jared Goff, whatever, if he spends his career as somewhere between the 12th and 9th best quarterback in the NFL, are you going to be happy with that as a Packer fan? And let's say it's Jared Goff. Like, you get to a obviously, without the trade, you get to an NFC Championship game, you get to a Super Bowl, you don't win anything, you're perennially right there on the fringe of elite, but not quite there. Like, that level of career, I think his play style plays more to Baker Mayfield, but if that's Jordan Love's, I think that's fine, and that's not a rip on Jordan Love.
No.
But again, I've said this before, I think Green Bay has evolved more into, a lot of these fans take more pride in being QB town and MVP town than it is title town, because they have, I believe, probably.
Well, that's what we've had to hang our hat on the last couple of years. It's not necessarily that we want to be that.
That's your identity.
That was what we were able, that was our cop out. That was me saying, well, the Brewers don't spend as much money, so I'm okay with them making the playoffs and not succeeding in the playoffs. Same kind of thing with the Packers. Like, well, we had the best quarterback in football. We just got a couple bad breaks.
You're bragging.
And so you, like, hang your hat on it.
You're bragging rights.
Yeah,
exactly. We've
talked
about this before. I don't care if how many MVPs any of my favorite players win. That doesn't do anything for me. I'm not getting an MVP.
Because I'll be honest, if I won,
if Caleb Williams wins the MVP, you're going to be stoked.
Only to give Matt crap. If he wins MVP and they don't win the Super Bowl, what do I care? I'm not going to have an MVP T-shirt.
Yeah,
I
think you would.
I don't look. Oh,
I think you would because Chicago's never had a great quarterback.
I don't have a Derrick Rose MVP T-shirt. I don't have any Jordan MVP stuff. I don't care about those sorts of things. But, like, I haven't rooted for losers my entire life. I don't have any MVP stuff from the Cubs. I care about the Cubs winning the World Series. I care about my team. I'm not saying that I'm or bust. Like, I enjoyed other seasons, but I'm saying for individual success, I really don't care about it unless I'm trying to talk crap to my friends.
Right,
but I'm not hanging my hat on it. I'm not buying my kids anything. I'm not hanging a banner for an MVP.
I'm not saying I want Caleb Williams to win an MVP, but right now I'm saying I want Caleb Williams to win an MVP just so I can prove you wrong, because I guarantee that you would be stoked and it would come up in every single conversation with you.
I don't think there's a lot of Ravens fans or even Bills fans that have Lamar Jackson 2-time MVP shirts Josh Allen 2024 MVP.
I'm the biggest Jordan stan in the world, and you could pay me $1,000, and I couldn't tell you how many MVPs he's won. Really don't know, because he's got so many.
He's also won how many championships, too, so you can hang your hat on that. But, like, if it's Caleb Williams, he doesn't win a championship, you're going to be excited when he wins an MVP.
Here's how I put it. If he goes from...
Matt, tell me I'm right. Get on my side.
From the longest time I've been with Jim, I promise you he is definitely... only championship title seeking. He is going to think that's a neat little feather to put in his cap, but he's not going to buy that
T-shirt. I can use that for being excited, kind of like Matt did, of like, oh, well, we're always in contention. I can use that to be excited about the future of the Bears, but I'm not going to be like, man, that MVP season for Caleb was my favorite.
This tracks for Jim.
Ryan?
Unfortunately.
I know I'm right.
I wish you were right. I want you to be right so I can call him a hypocrite.
I think no. I got to agree with Jim. I believe. I think it's more about the
no,
fact
you
that.
Guys, you guys are full of crap. He's going to throw this in our face. Stop.
Crap.
He will throw this in our face, and I can't wait. Well, no,
he's
I
hedging.
Want,
oh, he's hedging right now.
I don't want him. I don't want Caleb Williams winning MVP, okay?
Good.
I don't.
Good. Me but neither, Molly.
I'm. Whatever. I'm over it.
You know what I want? I want Caleb
one of
Williams.
You, like, be on my side.
If they're looking at me now, like, I feel like there was a Cubs player that won an MVP during that good run, but I don't know.
But you don't have the same passion for the Cubs
maybe
as you do the Chicago
Kyle
Bears.
Schwarber?
You love the Bears more, and you want more success for the Bears versus what you want for the Cubs, I believe.
But not for the player.
But all you talk about is Caleb Williams and the success that
because
he's
going to
have.
Because it leads to a Super Bowl. It could be Mitch Trubisky. I don't care who the quarterback is. Honestly, I would.
Rex Grossman.
Right. Rex Grossman got the quarterback. Rex Grossman and Jim McMahon have been the Super Bowl quarterbacks for my team. Neither one of them, and I love Jim McMahon, neither one of them are good.
Okay.
So I want the Super Bowl. Now, I think for Caleb that the Packers had in QB town, and this is the part where it matters, is that because you had Aaron Rodgers, you always had bites at the apple. Mm-hmm. The Bears have had elite defenses which are not consistent. Turnovers are not guaranteed year over year. All those things, they're not guaranteed
Tell
over year.
Jeff Affley.
Well, I've been telling it to you guys. All right, this is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.